let that beat bang. We gon' let that beat bang. What's up, everybody? Sometimes you just gotta let it breathe. That's what he does. Get in there. Welcome to Browner and Lawhead. I'm John Browner. Jason Lawhead is on location in Las Vegas, and the Wi-Fi there is terrible. Okay? It is absolutely terrible. But Jason, being a good sport, gave it a good run, and it just didn't work out. Sometimes, listen, we're all at the mercy of the internet these days, and as you're listening to the show or whether you've been following Burner and Lawhead or when it was Browner and Bird, or you're following Kaplan and crew, sometimes we get in these situations where if the internet doesn't work, we get no show. But if you're driving right now and you're listening on the Mighty 1090, or you've downloaded the podcast and you're listening to your podcast in iTunes, if you are watching YouTube, you're watching this show, this will be Browner and Lawhead show. Pack and go. I don't really know how to categorize it, but there's a lot to talk about. So I appreciate you guys being here. I appreciate you guys being along for the ride. We're still going to talk sports with a little less back and forth, with a little less humor, a little bit more direct. Because last night some things happened, and I want you guys to know that I believe in giving chances. I believe in opportunity. I think you do too. I think all people believe in opportunity. I think all people believe in risk. I believe all people believe in going out on your own and trying to find the identity that best suits you. That's why this morning, that's why this afternoon, that's why tonight, you have made decisions during the day to try to better your day. You've made decisions during the day to try to better your life. You got up today and you did something productive, I hope. So I'm not that mad at Kevin Durant today, but I am upset with his performance. I'm not mad that Kevin Durant chose to leave what we saw last night, being the Golden State Warriors, looking like they're in championship form. I know it's 16 games into the season. I'm not upset. But Kevin Durant has got to find a way to do better. Kevin Durant has got to find a way to fix what's wrong in Brooklyn. Because last night you saw two different images, what could have been and what is now. If I'm Kevin Durant, I'm treating this like any other relationship. My ex-girlfriend got somebody better, and she looks good. Hell, quite frankly, they look good. And here I am. The person who I actually came here with can't find them. You know why? Because they didn't show up. That's you, Kyrie. I mean, how can Kevin Durant, how can the Brooklyn Nets, how can James Harden, how can this organization win an NBA championship if this Kyrie thing is lingering around? If I'm Kevin Durant today, I go into Sean Marks' office, and I say, you call every team in the league. Call Philadelphia first. But you call every team in the league. You find out what we can get for Kyrie Irving right now. Hell, you know what I do? I'm going to sit in here. You put it on speaker. Because I want to make sure this happens. Because this is really what you saw last night was what it looks like when a team is trying to find a way and they know another part is out there. Or a team trying to find their way when a part is missing. Because the Golden State Warriors went through this, not in such fashion as the Nets do, because they still have Kevin Durant and James Harden, who is struggling right now trying to adjust to the new rules. But nevertheless, James Harden is still an all-star. You are trying to find yourself amongst a team with LaMarcus Aldridge, who quit last year for health reasons, came back, didn't play until, I don't know, late third quarter, early fourth quarter. Nobody knows why. Steve Nash just didn't put him in. Joe Harris didn't play. Kyrie Irving is on the righteous tour of non-vaxation, whatever the hell that is he's on. Nicholas Claxton, for whatever reason, didn't play. So there's a lot happening with the Nets. The Nets are in a very weird space. And then you look on the other side of the court, they're not in a weird space. The Golden State Warriors know who they are. They know where they're going. They know what they're doing. And they're missing, quite frankly, their second best player. Klay hasn't played in 2 years, so we'll see. They're missing one of the best young prospects in the league in James Wiseman. And that's what they're doing. They're doing that, missing probably their second best player, one of the greatest shooters to ever play the game of basketball, who probably will still be at the tip of his ending prime. You also are missing a young athletic rim protector, a floor runner, who can defend the pick and roll and who can rebound like a monster, who can also make threes, by the way. And you're doing that. So if I'm Kevin Durant and I'm looking at this, we've gotten our ass kicked this year by the Chicago Bulls, by the Milwaukee Bucks on opening night. Now the Golden State Warriors, the Charlotte Hornets beat us a couple nights ago as well. So teams who have good, real NBA players give the Nets a lot of problems. A lot of problems. Because they're missing a gigantic $35 million piece in which, when the team was created, that piece was as vital as Kevin Durant was. That they have to fix that. This isn't an anti-vax argument. This is a available, not available argument. I don't care about your vaccination status. I really don't. I care about good basketball, and Kyrie's a great basketball player who's made himself unavailable for his own personal choices. He has a right to make them, but now the Nets have to get down to business. Call all the teams in Florida, call all the teams in Texas, and ask them, what do you want for Kyrie Irving? Because he can come play for you. You don't have a vaccine situation in Florida. You don't have a vaccine situation in Texas. Have him come play for you. You'll take him. Because if I'm Kevin Durant, what happened to me last night? Hell no, not again. Nah, I will not be embarrassed on the national level. Now, KD didn't play well either. Missed eight or nine shots in the third quarter. He just looked like he was just playing hoops. Looked like he was playing hoops, just balling in the park. The Warriors look like they're on a mission. They look like Hunt for Red October, if you saw that movie with the ship and then the war and the missile. And they look prepared. They look like they have a mission. They look like they're on a revenge tour. So kudos to them. Hats off to the Warriors. Because I'm going to spend a couple minutes on the Warriors too. The Golden State Warriors is one of the smartest organizations in sports. Because the viewing public, the last year and a half, the Golden State Warriors have been a mess. Steph Curry was hurt. Klay was hurt. Draymond sucks. So he can't play without two all-stars and look good. Their organization, Steve Kerr, knew they were going to lose. What did he do? He started coaching. He started coaching subpar players to just be average. Because the vision for the Golden State Warrior franchise, their front office, Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, they got together and they said, what can we do to be prepared when these dudes come back? So they drafted Jonathan Wiseman. Hurt. Had some flashes last season. Hurt again. They drafted Jonathan Kuminga, who looks like he can give you energy. They have Moses Moody for shot making when he gets up to speed. They've got Gary Payton II defending like a madman. They've got Jordan Poole, who no one thought could do what he's doing. They have Toscano, who's doing what people didn't think he could do. So they wisely invested in what they had, groomed what they had for what could possibly come. I said this on Kaplan and Crew. I'll repeat it again here. The Golden State Warriors are doing Patriot Way playbook in basketball. We don't care about your talent level. Does your talent fit our system? And if it does, can you be coached? Are you coachable? The answer clearly is yes. 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 Because when you watch Jordan Poole come in the game and start making threes, over dribbling, but making threes. When you watch, I'm not a fan of Kevon Looney, but when you watch Kevon Looney basically just do the bare minimum and look successful. When you watch Andrew Wiggins, a guy who no one could get anything out of, be one of the best perimeter defenders in the league, be able to create his own shot off the dribble and score, not as your primary score. Hell, at this point, not really as your second best score. Just as a guy who, when you need somebody to get buckets or when he comes ready to play, you just let him do his thing. You just let him do his thing when he comes ready to play. The Warriors organization should be applauded. And again, it's 16 games in. I can hear you. I know. But you have to look at what's happening. You have to look at how they're operating. You have to look at the level that Steph Curry is playing at. I'm not a fan, but you have to look at what Draymond Green is doing, the way that he's orchestrating that defense, his level of communication, his basketball IQ. Again, I'm not a fan of him, but I can respect what he is doing. This is unbelievable. Can they keep this up? Yes, they can, because they've already got three titles. This is also a part about this conversation that a lot of people seem to be glossing over, because I heard someone say, I think it was Kendrick Perkins. So take this with a grain of salt, because, you know, it's Kendrick Perkins. The Warriors don't have guys with experience. And I almost fell out of my chair and I went, Perk, you're on television. There are 10 stats and information people within 12 feet of you. Steph Curry, championship, finals MVP, league MVP. Draymond Green, defensive player of the year, three-time NBA champion. Steve Kerr, nine-time NBA champion. Don't tell me these guys don't have the experience. That's what they spent the year teaching these dudes, how to run the offense. And when it comes time to make clutch shots, it won't be you, Toscano. It won't be Andrew Wiggins. It won't be Draymond Green. It'll be Steph Curry. It'll be Klay when he comes back and he gets into shape. Those will be the guys taking scoring buckets. Because when you get James Wiseman back moving healthy, you get Klay Thompson, who's now been cleared for five healthy. Nobody's looking at Andrew Wiggins. Nobody's looking at Wiggins to do anything. So that's when he becomes more dangerous. I'm telling y'all, man. I knew the Warriors would be competitive. I thought the Warriors would be able to show some fight, some energy at this point, but I didn't think it would be this. I didn't think they'd be taking the league by storm, and I don't think this is a situation where they'll peak too early. Again, their coach has 9 championships. He studied under Jackson. He studied under Greg Popovich. Those are the 2 greatest coaches in the history of the NBA, and it's not even close. Yeah, miss me with the Pat Riley talk. No thanks, I'm good. Miss me with the Red Auerbach, I'm good. He studied under the 2 greatest coaches in the history of this league, and quite frankly, Greg Popovich, from an X and O and personnel standpoint, is one of the greatest coaches of all time in any sport. So I don't think this is a will peak too soon situation. I think this is a we might have a monster on our hands situation. And I'm here for it. You're listening to Brown and Lawhead. Like I said, Lawhead is in Las Vegas doing some travel. He's a comedian. He's a quite, you know, in comedian circles, he's a well-known guy. So he's doing a stint in Vegas, and the Wi-Fi at the hotel isn't what any of us think it should be. So couldn't do the show today. But I'm here with y'all. I'm rocking with y'all. Welcome to the Mightier 1090. Welcome to Brown and Lawhead if you're listening via the internet. If you're listening via YouTube, it's my face you see, and it will be my face alone you see today. Jason will be back on Monday, maybe Tuesday. The gig, they pay. Gig pays. Another thing is, it's still a issue in sports. Joey Bosa for the Chargers has been hit the COVID list. Close contact, he's unvaccinated. Close contact, not he's not the cause of it. He is a close contact. So he more than likely will miss this weekend's game. We have a lot of great games on the weekend slate. I think the Bears-Ravens game is going to be phenomenal. You get to see Justin Fields battle Lamar Jackson. Another interesting part about that game is the Ravens are ranked 32nd in pass defense. 32nd in pass defense. And for a young man in Justin Fields who seems to be finding his way from a quarterback perspective, this might be a breakout game from Pat. I mean, he played great the last two games. He seems to be finally getting it. Coming off a bye week, it'll be interesting to see what he can do. Lamar Jackson coming off a Thursday night game when he really looked like he, again, I don't like Lamar Jackson on Thursday night games because physically the toll that the game takes on him individually isn't good for him to play on Sunday and play again on Thursday. So, I mean, there's that. There are a couple of other really, really good games out there. I'm going to pull them up right now and kind of go over them with you. But I think the I don't really see Patriots Falcons being much of anything. The Lions tying makes me never ever want to think or look at them again. They make me sick to my stomach. Bengals Raiders looks pretty good, but most importantly, Chiefs Cowboys. We've all had this come to Jesus moment now with the Chiefs. We all now think the Chiefs are back. Some of us think the Cowboys are frauds. Some of us think the Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders. I will share this with you right here, right now. This Sunday, with the Chiefs and the Cowboys, it's a home game for the Chiefs. Let me double check to make sure I'm correct about that. Yes, it's a home game for the Chiefs. Predicted to be 58 degrees, so not cold, not hot. But that's pretty good football weather, actually. I like the Chiefs, man. I like the Chiefs. I know some of those mistakes that they had in the 5-touchdown game by Patrick Mahomes against Oakland. I'm sorry, Oakland. It's Las Vegas. Something that people say, well, look at the situation. The Raiders are in there in disarray. And for the Chiefs to come in a division game and do that, that's not to be surprising. So what if they do it to the Cowboys? Huh? Ask yourself that question. If you're a football fan and you're one of those people still holding out on whether or not you think the Chiefs are back or not, what if they do what they did to the Raiders, to the Cowboys? Because I don't think the Cowboys are good. I think the Cowboys are good on offense. I think the Cowboys are good on offense, but at the main position, Dak Prescott not better than Patrick Mahomes. And Dallas's number one wide receiver isn't better than Tyreek Hill. I'll let you pick. They definitely don't have a better tight end. And Zeke Elliott, they should have a dominant run game. They don't, because the Chiefs defense suffers from the run. You can run all over them. I don't think Mike McCarthy wants to do that. I don't know if that's their path to victory. I don't know if they want Zeke to be the guy that leads them to victory. So if you're going to tell me you're going to put this on Dak, who 2 weeks ago looked disgusting against the Denver Broncos, but bounced back against the Atlanta Falcons, what is he going to do? How is he going to look? How that offense going to look against the Chiefs, who seem to have found their, I'm not saying they found their stride, but offensively they found what they were doing wrong, and they seem to have fixed it. Because if they go out and do this to the Cowboys, if they go out and they put a 50-burger or 40-burger on the Cowboys with a victory, time for the league to buckle up. Because you had it on the ropes, and they kept winning ugly. They kept winning ugly. They kept winning ugly. Then blowout happened. They come out. They put 35-42 on the Cowboys, America's team. That ain't an ugly win. That's a good win. That's a gorgeous win. That's a Miss America win. Okay? I don't know. We'll see. This will, because we don't know who's good or bad in the NFL. We know who's bad. The Jets are bad. The Jaguars are bad. The Texans are bad. I don't know if the Dolphins are bad or not, but at any point in time, those teams can even beat somebody. The Lions are absolutely despicable. I don't think they'll beat anybody, but it took the Ravens a 66-yard field goal to beat the Lions. So the Lions can sneak up on you and get a win. So I don't know who's good, but I know who's bad. So this weekend in the NFL, when you have games like Steelers Chargers, you have games like Bengals Raiders, you have games like 49ers Jets. Like, if the 49ers lost to the Jaguars, I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't, because they've got a loss like that in them. The Panthers are playing a Washington football team. The Eagles are playing the Saints. The Jets are playing the Dolphins in a game that it shouldn't even be televised. They shouldn't put that on TV. Jets Dolphins should be on Nickelodeon at 10 a.m. No one, that game should not be televised for adults to see it outside of the markets of Miami and New York, which in Miami, they may not watch it anyway. So that's the weekend slate. Packers, Vikings, Texans, Titans. The Titans are rolling. Browns, Lions. If the Lions get their first win against the Browns, what do you do with Baker Mayfield? What do you do? What do you do? There's so many different storylines right now in the NFL. There's so many things happening. There's so many hot discussions. There's so many quarterback discussions. There's so many franchise discussions with what's going on with the Raiders and what's going on with the Washington football team. So there's a lot to get to. There's a lot of things to go around. But obviously, we'll join you guys next week. Brown and Law Head, see you guys on Monday. Thanks for listening today. Peace.